Good morning. Can you hear you?
Good morning. Echo. Yes, they can hear me.
Okay, great. So let's get started. My name is Igal Edri. I'm a group program manager in the Office BI team. We're based in Israel. With me is Danny, and we should have done that. Yeah. With me is Danny Hotter.
Good morning. I'm Danny Hodder. I'm a senior program manager in Eagle's team. We're part of Office BI. I've been involved with Microsoft BI since 1998 and lots of stuff before that. And that's it.
Okay. So I've did the math, and together we have 15 plus years of experience in the BI space. He's the 15, I'm the plus. I was trying to think what's my credibility here and how much experience do I actually have? I've been at the Office team for a little less than a year, but I've been doing BI as a self-service user for a long time. One of the projects that I was thinking about that was very interesting was a few years back, I was in the ISO server team. I have a lot of security background. We were trying to do analysis on vulnerability assessment and how to build a system for detecting vulnerabilities, collecting tons of data from multiple sources, from the Microsoft analysis of those vulnerabilities, from reports that come from public sources, meshing them all together and trying to come up with some actions on how to build a good vulnerability system. So it's just an example of things you do that you don't actually call BI when you do them, but it is what we're talking about, right? It is about analyzing a lot of data and coming up with actionable insights on what to do next with this, with the insights you derive.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was thinking of saying something. We didn't practice this part exactly. And I was thinking of saying something exactly similar, saying self-service BI is not new. People were doing it for years and years and years. They just didn't know that they were doing it. They were doing it, and I think that our message is not about now you can do self-service BI, but now you can do self-service BI with much better and powerful tool, and as IT, you can have much more control. But more about that later.
Yeah, thank you. So, let's get started. I think you've probably seen this slide. The world is changing, right? There is tons of new data coming in, new data types. There is a data explosion happening. And on the other side, people are consuming this data from multiple devices. They want to get access to the data. They want to mesh it up with different types of data sources, use social, etc. And it's going to be a big impact on the BI space. You're going to do more and more BI as we advance and the world is getting to this data era, I guess. So BI is becoming a critical business need for all of you. And there are many choices out there, and Microsoft has many choices, many options for you to actually do BI with the Microsoft tools. We tend to see the questions about what kind of tools do we have and how do we do BI in this new world, running on two vectors, or kind of like mapped to two vectors. There is one around the tools you have today for on-premises, and now we've announced Power BI, and we keep talking about Power BI in the cloud, and people keep asking us, so what should I do? How do I actually move between the on-premises solutions I have and the new Power BI solutions I have? And we as Microsoft tend to focus a lot on the new things and tell you a lot about Power BI. But this talk is really about trying to balance that. So if you are an organization that is completely in the cloud, Power BI only, no on-premises servers whatsoever, then probably this is not the talk for you. If anyone wants to leave now, I wouldn't be angry. It's totally fine. If you're struggling like we do between how to balance between this on-premises world and the cloud world and how to do BI in a combination of both, that's exactly what we're trying to do in this session today. The other vector that we keep hearing questions and confusions around is on this vector of corporate versus self-service. What is corporate? What is self-service? Which tools are going to be useful for which scenario? And what we will try to do is kind of like map these together. We often hear people think that corporate and on-premise are the same thing, self-service and the cloud is the same thing. It's actually not like that. You can do self-service in a corporate environment, in an on-premises environment. You can do some corporate BI in the cloud. We will try to map them and help you look at this problem and make the right choices after you've left this session. So this is really our sole objective for this session. If we managed to do that, great. If we didn't, please let us know. This is the first time we are trying to do this talk. We will happily improve it and clarify more. We learn a lot from telling these stories and getting your feedback about where it made sense, where it didn't, and we'll continue improving. So please, this is like, if I forget to remind you at the end to fill the feedback, this is one of the things we would actually like to do, whether we have met this objective and whether you've gotten the insight from that. So how do we do that? We will start by just setting the base grounds and talking about the same terminology. So we'll spend a little bit of time just doing some taxonomy. What is BI? What types of projects are you doing, and how we look at that problem? And we will spend the majority of the session doing a comparison between what you can do with SharePoint on-premises versus what you can do with Power BI. We'll do some demos. And we'll end with the key message here, which is it's all about having them together. It's a hybrid world. You're not going to have only on-premises or only in cloud. You're probably going to have a mix of those. And we will try to show you the direction of how to think about that and how to get to this hybrid world in a way that's aligned with what we are envisioning and trying to drive toward. Okay? So let's start with some taxonomy. We'll start with what do we see or what do we define as a BI stack? And I will start by saying that I've been listening to multiple sessions during the week myself. I'm learning the BI space as I'm doing that. And I noticed that there is like tons of ways to actually slice and dice the definition of BI. What is BI? Many different people are defining it in a different way. So this is our interpretation. Okay? It's not the official way. It is driven by trying to simulate together many different views and coming up with our view of the BI, because we'll use that during the session to try to explain how to think about this problem.
And many discussions and arguments about between me and Yigal about who is what is before what.
Yeah, preparing this deck was a great exercise in arguing about what do you mean and what do you do and what should be on-premise and what should be in the cloud. So we are trying to actually bring it all to you, right? And I'm sure that many of you will want to argue with me after that. And that's fine, because there is no single answer, but we will try to give you the tools. So at the bottom of the stack, you have to have data, right? So you're building some data warehouses, you're collecting data, that's the basic thing. You start discovering more data, doing some transformation on this data, and building that on top of the data you have, and they actually feed to each other. So you enhance the data as you do more discovery and get more data sources, and build better data warehouses, which we'll end up using. But once you have this kind of like repository of data, the official data that you want to work with, you go in the BI space, you go into the modeling. You start defining relationships between the data, between the tables, make the data kind of like usable for and ready for being able to connect the dots between the different tables that you have. When you have that, usually the data modeling is right, we refer to it as you're building a tableau model or you're building a cube, but that's what you do. Once you have that, you can start analyzing the data. You can start trying to get a look at the data from different angles and try to understand what can you get from it, right? The insight that exists in the data that you're trying to discover. Usually you visualize that because it's easier for most people to consume it as a highly visual graphics, right? We look, a picture is worth 1,000 words. That's what BI is about. You're trying to visualize the data to make it so that most people, when they look at that, they immediately get the insight that you got from it as well. There is also actually someone mentioned to me yesterday that there is also a circular kind of like reference here between modeling, analysis, visualization. You end up going between these three layers and experimenting until you actually get to the insight and the visualization you want. And at the end of the day, you have some consumption experience based on this data. You basically make it available for people to consume your insights. So So that's kind of like a very high level stack of BI. If you have tools for each of the layers in the stack, then probably you have a BI stack that you can use and benefit from. Any questions so far? Okay. Feel free to interrupt us with questions during. If it will be too much, then we'll actually say the opposite, which is let's wait to the end, but we'll try to see if we can make it interactive. It's a relatively big room, but I think it's doable. So if you have questions, just feel free to interrupt. Okay. The other vector that is often very confusing, how many hours did you spend arguing about that one? Self-service versus corporate. What is self-service? What is corporate? How do you draw the line? So let's start with the traditional way of how this was defined. Corporate BI is really about centrally controlled data and centrally controlled reports, usually driven by the corporate, looking at metrics at the corporate level, designed for the entire corporate or large audiences within the corporate to use, often working on very large data sets, probably with some business logic. All of that is the corporate BI space as we've known it. There have been an area that was called personal BI, which is kind of like what evolves into self-service, which is the business users are getting the data and getting insights from the data, and they're connecting multiple sources. It's not it's a personal thing, right? You, as an expert in the data, will take a look at that and try to derive some insights based on what you know. Combining the data you have with the knowledge you have in your head, with the ability to mesh it up and explore it and analyze it and getting to some insights that are useful for you. My example before about the vulnerability assessment work that I did is exactly that. There wasn't any corporate here. It was Eagle trying to come up with ideas for the next product and trying to build them in a way that what we will do will have the maximum impact moving forward. So we have to analyze a lot of data and combining it with the knowledge I had, with the many years of security background I had, to come up with some insight about, hey, this vulnerability or these types of vulnerabilities, if we handle them, we've covered 99% of the problems in a simple tool, something like that.
Yeah, so traditionally, when people do self-service BI, most of the data they use is actually corporate BI, corporate data that was collected by the corporation. They just have to get part of it into their environment and then add to it something that they picked up from the web or have a way to, or maybe they are collecting it, they are responsible for a specific area, and they combine the data collected in this area with the big picture of the data coming from the corporate. Eagle example was more about really something that was personal to his area and not part of any corporate large data work.
Yeah. Okay. Third, kind of like classical area of BI is team BI. Once you have some insights, some BI data that you want to share, you collaborate with the team. It supports the team decision, kind of like somewhere between corporate and personal, and they fit to each other, right? Usually you do some personal BI, you share it with the team, you get to a point where this actually looks like it's very useful to share with the entire corporate, you feed it into the corporate BI, the data gets improved, you do more personal. When we look at self-service versus corporate, you can kind of like say, hey, corporate is corporate BI, personal is the thing we've been doing as a self-service. Team belongs to both worlds. You actually end up sharing your self-service BI with your teams, but the corporate can do the same. And so think about this as the kind of like definition of how we look at what is corporate, what is self-service. The lines are blurry. We often find ourselves arguing about, hey, is this case personal or like self-service or corporate? It doesn't really matter. As long as you kind of like get the overall picture, which is this one. So, what does Microsoft has to do, or what kind of tools we have to allow you to do BI? In the corporate space, there have been the classical tool coming from SQL. You can build data warehouses. You can use SSIS, analysis services, Visual Studio for modeling, for writing some reports. There have been tools for analysis both in Excel as well as in SSIS for data mining. People have been using many third-party tools for that as well. You can visualize with Excel, with reporting services, with Performance Point, and consume that with Excel services, reporting services to view reports. These are the kind of tools that we've been referring to as the corporate BI, classical tools for doing BI in an enterprise environment. What we are introducing and talking a lot about in this conference is the self-service BI, which is really what Power BI was meant to address. So same stack, just different tools for optimized for self-service users, for business users, to do the same. Now, you still need data at the bottom, right? And someone, I don't remember who it was, but someone was saying, hey, so with self-service, can I get rid of my data warehouse? Of course not. You still need to have the data. You just need to expose it to those tools that are more self-service by nature, that are more targeted toward business users using this data and deriving insights from them. And at that level, the tool stack of the Power BI, if you will, is this combination of Power Query to get the data from where it is, which can be in your corporate data warehouses, but it can also be internet data, public data that you get from multiple sources. So you get the data using Power Query. You do the modeling using Power Pivot in Excel. You can analyze the data with Excel, with the pivot tables of Excel. That's the classic feature for allowing you to analyze data, to slice and dice and look at it from multiple angles and get to the insights. You visualize it with Excel, with PowerView and PowerMap. So Excel has a lot of tools for visualization that have been there for a long time, like pivot charts and charts in general, and slicers and timelines, and then PowerView and PowerMap take it kind of like to the next level of visualization. We'll actually show you examples of how you do that in both cases, because at the end of the day, you have many tools for the job, and we want to expose you to the variety of tools you have, and you'll be the one deciding which one you're actually are the best fit for the job you're trying to do. Right? Once you have created the visualization with Excel, you get to the consumption experiences, and you can publish it either on-premises with Excel and Excel services, or in the cloud using Power BI Site and Power Q&A, and consume it from the Power BI Windows app that you can get from the store. All of these are the consumption experiences that are kind of like related to self-service BI. Okay. This is kind of like the more of the marketing slide of how we talk about Power BI. What I wanted to show here is that really our Power BI story is all about Excel as the tools for generating the insights, for analyzing the data, for getting to the insights you want, and then Office 365 and the Power BI site sharing and Power Q&A, which is tied to that, as the way to consume it. One thing that was said yesterday in one of the sessions, and I thought we're not probably emphasizing it enough, so I want to make sure it's very clear. The insights in Excel, if you have Office Pro Plus, you can just do them. You don't actually need a Power BI license for that. The Power BI license adds to that ability to do analysis, adds the ability to share it with others on Office 365. So that's how you should think about it. If you are not an Office 365 user, you can still use a lot of the tools we are talking about here today to actually use Excel, use PowerMap, use PowerView, use Power Query. There are, I think, the only caveat here would be the Power Query sharing within the enterprise, which is actually depends on a service in the cloud. So that specific thing would require a Power BI license. But for everything else,
and
you can do
Q&A.
That.
Power Q&A is another...
I'm talking about the Excel side.
And the Excel side, right.
Yeah. So just take a note of that. Okay. So one last thing to set the ground, and then we can actually start comparing what you have in on-prem versus in the cloud. Is what are the types of BI projects you typically do? And the reason we do that is because for different projects, you'll use different tools, and you'll be able to do them either on-premises or in the cloud or some combination of them. And what we will do now is, once we've understood these kind of like six buckets of of BI tasks or projects, we will map each of them to how do you do them when you're on premises, and how do you do them when you're in the cloud, and how do you do them when or actually we'll end with how you combine them together in a hybrid world. So the task that you can think about yourself as doing when you do BI is, first thing, you are the IT pro or the database admin or someone whose task is to get the data and make it available for others to consume. So that would be the guy that is building a data warehouse, for example. It's a BI task. He's building data for others. Basically, this is the building the foundation so that business users can actually do BI on top of that. So finding the data. Next thing is you are the one trying to find insights from the data. You're the business users, and you're analyzing and visualizing the data. The next task would be around sharing your insights with others. And then, and this is more of a corporate space, but not just, it's around, you want to build some dashboards for the corporate, for people to, for usually for executives or for your team to track metrics and kind of like see in a highly visualized way how are we doing as a business. You may want to create standard reports, and there is often cases where you want to build something very custom for your organization. So we will take a look at each of those tasks or BI projects, if you will, and try to map them to how we do them on-prem versus in the cloud. That's the next thing. Okay, so BI on SharePoint. SharePoint I refer to as in the cloud, as on-premise, sorry, versus Power BI for Office 365, which is the cloud version. So first thing, this is not a SharePoint task. This is how you build data. If you're building a data warehouse, the traditional things you would do is that you would find the data, put it into SQL Server, put it maybe into some central cubes, ensure data quality, build some business logic around it. You're building the single source of truth in the organization for people to use. That's what you do. Right? In the self-service world, with the Power BI, which is self-service focused, there are some additional things you do. The first thing you do is, if you want your users to be using Power Query to find the data, then you want to build some certified queries for them to be able to search the data and find it. So you would build a set of queries using Power Query that get the data sets that you believe your users will want to consume. You would, in Power Query, share that into your enterprise catalog. And you may even build queries that actually mesh up different data sources together, so you do some work for them. And you also want to spend some time making the data a little bit more understandable by the business users. They are not DBAs. They do not understand when a field name is called DIM something. They do not understand cryptical field names. You want to make it a little bit more easy for them to use, and you can do that by applying some of the Power Query shaping features and renaming fields and all of this processing that Power Query can do and make it available. Because at the end of the day, you want your users to find the data. Again, this is not a SharePoint task. This is I'm a data steward in the organization. I'm building data for others to consume. One thing that is very IT specific here, which is not about self-service, but it is IT specific, it's about the data management gateway. We'll talk about it at the end when we connect the worlds together, but you have to be aware of the fact that if you want your users to be using the data that is on-premises from the cloud, the solution that Maxos has for that is the data management gateway. It allows for these hybrid scenarios to happen. As the guy who owns the data, you probably want to manage that gateway and make sure it's there. Now we get to the second thing, which is defining insights from the data. This is true for both on-premises and with Power BI. You use Excel. That's the tool. Okay? The BI tool, you open up Excel in a desktop environment, like the Excel desktop, and you connect to data using Excel. You can get data using Excel's data tab, or you can get data using Excel's Power Query tab, but you get the data into Excel, you do some mashups, you do some modeling with Power Pivot, you maybe enrich it for Power Q&A to work, which is very Power BI specific, but you want to do that. You analyze, you visualize, and basically you create your Excel report, if you will. Let's take a look at how this is done, and we'll get to the first demo here. What we'll try to do is build those demos
I will tell you when to switch to mine. I don't want the attention to go directly to the visual. So first I will set up the scenario that you were trying to describe in three stages of demos during the presentation. The scenario is that I'm an analyst. I'm getting a request from my CEO or my, could be my country manager or someone who is interested. And we are sales, the data is coming. It's kind of a mix between data coming from my AdventureWorks corporate database that probably many of you are familiar with. It's one of the demo databases that we've been distributing for quite a while. And the question was about our sales in Germany. Anyone from Germany here? No? Okay, it's good.
No,
that one? Okay, so I ask you not to look too closely at the geographical relationships between the states and the cities because it was kind of a fake of moving more data to Germany to make it more interesting. So please don't tell them that it's not all. So we're selling in Germany, well, in other countries, but specifically the interest is in Germany. And we know from evidence that we have different levels of success in different areas of the country and different cities. In some cities we're doing well, some cities we're not doing so well. And when I say doing well, obviously there are some cities which are big. Munich is a big city, Berlin is a big city, and so on. So we sell more in those cities, but it's not enough. The question is how much are we selling compared to the actual potential? And the potential is now here measured by the population. So more people, I expect to sell more. And so that was the scope of the investigation. And the task was to get some data about that and to visualize it and to see if we can get some conclusions about where we're doing well. Okay, so now we switch to
which
8.
Which one is it?
Number 8.
Which one is 8? This one?
Yeah. Why is, for some reason it went to extend instead of duplicate, but we have the technology to fix that. Okay, so. This demo and the other ones will not be so much of a how-to demo. I will not start from nothing and just take you through all the steps. It's more about explaining what are the moving parts, what techniques and technologies we're using in order to get to here, and I will show you a few points. So this is like the end result. This is, now Eagle by now know that I'm kind of visualization. Not a great person for doing nice visualizations, especially not with PowerPoint. I can't do PowerPoint to defend my life.
If we had the original deck, it was all lots of words in very, very, very small text.
Which is
funny coming from a BI expert, right?
All the credit for that goes to Eagle. So, what do I have here? I have two charts. One of them on the corner here on the left upper corner is showing me the total sales and a measure that I calculated. I created a calculated measure that says sales per capita. In order to do that, I needed to bring data from my corporate data, sales, geographies, product, and so on, and to go to the web to look for information about the same cities and the population in them. In order to do the search for the day they opened the internet data, I created a query in Power Query. The data did not come. I hope who here have seen this week a demo that were about Power Query. There were quite a few. Yeah, so not everybody, but I hope you, if you didn't, just try to get your hands on this tool and to learn about it because it's really, really a very powerful tool. So I took the data that came originally from Wikipedia. I had to unpivot it. I had to clean it. I had to add columns because the first time I created a map with it, it actually found the city of Münster, which is a city in Germany. It found it in the United States because there is a city in the United States called Münster, Illinois or something. And so I had to say, okay, Münster to every city to concatenate the country. So it will find it in the map, all kind of things like that eventually. And then I actually had to model it together. So for that, I used PowerPivot. I used PowerPivot. I have a bunch of tables here. The table, which is coming from the web, is called List. Where is it? Yes, here. This one here. is the one coming from the Wikipedia. I linked it. I had to make sure that the way the cities are written here is exactly the same way cities are written in my system. It's not always easy. Power Query has, for example, a way to say replace values. If it's because originally in one part it said Munich slash München, and this was the name of the city. And in my case, it was just Munich. So, but you think about replace values. It seems like a very manual task. Well, every time I get the data, I will replace it. But because Power Query records your steps, then the next time you're going to refresh this data, it's going to repeat the steps. So even if you had to do some manual replacement of values, it's still a repeatable, refreshable process, which is one of the most important things about Power Query. So don't be afraid to get the data exactly the way you want, because you just do it once, and then it just repeats itself the next time you refresh. Another thing I had to do is to create some calculations. So in here, in the main table that has the data about sales, I have some calculations. And for that calculations, so some of them are really simple. So like this, total sales equals sum of sales. I didn't have to technically to do that. I could actually, in my visualizations, I can just drag the sales value and into a pivot table or into Power View, and it will create one of those on the fly. Just a recommendation, make sure you have those and give them proper names, and then also you can reuse them from other calculations. Because here, I calculated another one that was actually the sum of the population of all the cities that I'm looking at. And there's another one that is dividing the total sales by the sales population. If you notice, there's a function in DAX called divide. Little known, I think. And I found it in the hard way, because I was used to do it in the Excel way. If error, A divided by something, then zero, otherwise it's okay. And it didn't work correctly. I was getting, it did not recognize the division by zero as an error. And I was getting a little angry. I called the guy, I talked to the guys in the analysis services team that they're responsible for that. And they said, you should look at the documentation and see that there is a divide function, which is actually a safe divide function that will return blank whenever their expression returns divide by zero. All right, how would I find it? Unless I have friends in the... So you're lucky, I'm telling you. All right, so once I have this sales per capita, which is the main thing that we are interested in, you can see that I'm using it here in this... there's a combo chart, something that exists in Excel for quite a while, make much easier to do in Excel 2013. Just look at it, it's just awesome. You go to change the chart type, you choose the combo chart, and it immediately asks you, okay, what measures they want on the secondary and the primary axis, beautiful. And then around this, there's a bunch of slicers that allow me to, like here, I can select a specific region in Berlin, and I now see the numbers for this region only. My machine has this, once I leave it alone, it has some problem that it's just like not responding and then getting back to itself. So we'll have to just wait a few seconds.
Visualizing the wait.
It's
visualizing the wait time.
Visualizing the wait time. No, it's actually something that I have to take care of, that I thought I would get away with it, and I didn't. So now, okay, so this is the numbers for just Berlin. I don't know if you noticed here in this area, there were for a while, when it was calculated, it was getting into this pound signs, and then it gave me the numbers. What I use here is another technology that's been around in Excel since 2007 called cube functions. And I wanted to get these numbers, the total sales of everything we're looking at, filtered by the slicers, and the total sales per capita for this selection. So I wanted to be bold, I wanted to be formatted the way I wanted it, and not the way that like a pivot will look like. So using these cube functions were designed to get data from OLAP cube, corporate data, remember, cubes, corporate. But my model here, actually I can query it with the same kind of tools. So Remember, everything Excel does here, it's exactly the same tools that Excel will use against an OLAP cube. The pivot charts, the pivot tables, cube functions, slicers, I don't have timelines. Now, I choose, I just will switch to the other worksheet here, which is a power view. Now, I could do just one and not the other. Obviously, I wanted to show you another option. And also in here, I can show you more about the graphical aspect of the sales. Now, there's advantages to each one. I can't really tell you. I'm an Excel person, so I wouldn't tell you, just go to PowerView, forget about Excel. I love Excel, and Excel can do a lot of things that you cannot do in PowerView and the other way around. For example, a map is a great visualization tool. It exists out of the box in PowerView, very easy to do. Combo box, you can't do it. I cannot show on the same visualization both something big as sales and something small as sales per capita, which is a few cents or half a buck or something. But what I did here is kind of a trick. I can actually switch the entire view to show sales per capita or sales. If you notice the chart, the scale is changing completely.
What's the insight you get out of this map?
Well, the insight I get was that when I look at sales per capita, I can identify regions. And if I drill down into the regions, I can look at cities that actually have the small bubbles are small sales per capita, big bubbles are big sales per capita. And from that, I can decide that there's a few, like you see, like in the bottom here, few regions really look small. If I hover over them, I can see that the numbers are a small, 0.29 cents per person. Others are like a dollar and a half. And we decided to take some steps to correct this and to invest more, put some salesmen, put some effort in these areas to raise the numbers. So that's how much we get at this point, just by Excel, showed it to the CEO. We'll see more about it later.
Great. So we've seen Excel used to generate some insights. This is cloud on-premises. It's the same thing. Self-service BI, Excel as the tool for doing that. Next task we want to have is to sharing those insights. And here is where we start getting to the differences between what you can do on-prem, what you can do in the cloud. If you're doing a sharing of your insights on-premises, you're basically using a SharePoint server. You've deployed Excel services, Power Pivot Gallery, the kind of tools that Microsoft has today for allowing people to share those workbooks and share it with other people. You need to have a SQL Server analysis server in the background to support that, reporting services for the Power Pivot to be rendered. And now you can start your users or the consumer of this workbook can start interact with the workbook with Excel services on the SharePoint site. They can go through report thumbnails with the Power Pivot Gallery. You can configure scheduled data refresh for the report to also always be kept up to date and pull the latest data on a regular basis. There are also things you can actually do on premises that are highlighted here as green, meaning you can't actually do them in the current Power BI offering. So if you wanted to do standalone Power View reports, or you wanted to use workbooks as a data model for other workbooks, or if you needed the IT oversight features to know which reports are being used by which people, right now this is only an on-premises feature. If those are important to you, you have to do them in on-premise. How many of you are using Power Pivot Gallery today? Very few. How many of you have deployed Excel services on your SharePoint server? So for those of you, if you are using that right now, take a look at those differences, because you will need to make a decision whether the move of these SharePoint servers to become part of Office 365 Power BI is justified, or if you want to wait until more features are added to Power BI. Just important to know the differences. On the sharing insight on Office 365 with Power BI, we basically have a portal for you, which is the BI site. Think of it as the equivalent of the Power Pivot Gallery in some way. This is the way to see thumbnails of report, to allow your users to click on a report and view and interact with it. There is a limit, because this is a cloud service, there is a limitation on the size of workbooks you can actually upload to Power BI. Right now, this is a 250 megs of models, which you have to have the Power BI license for. Without the Power BI license, you can upload up to 10 megs of files, not listed here. Same same limit or same number as in an on-prem, although in an on-prem you can configure that in your SharePoint server. In the cloud, we configure the server, so it's 10 meg or 250 with the Power BI license. You can configure scheduled refresh, and you actually have new features in Power BI that did not exist on-premises, which is around marking some reports as favorites and the use of Power Q&A to query against those reports in a natural language. Let's take a look at another demo to show you how to do that in both cases.
Number 8. So to continue our story, we switched to Office 365 SharePoint Online. This is a completely vanilla site that I just created a few days ago. And I had some files here, but now this CEO type that I showed him the data said this is really nice and useful, and they would like the regional managers and other people to be able to see it. So why? And I tell him that actually the best way to do that is to upload it to our new tenant in SharePoint Online and share it with other people, with the CEO and others.
So now, maybe it's just worth mentioning. We're using here SharePoint Server Online because it's easier. But what we are doing in the first demo is something you can do exactly the same way in an on-premises deployment. Then we'll go and see what you can get extra with the Power BI features.
Now, I have the file here. Germany sales. And I will just drag it. Many people are surprised with it. They don't know that you can drag and drop from folder to SharePoint. At least in our organization, maybe outside of Microsoft, everybody knows that. Now, and this is still not the Power BI site that Igor was talking about. This is just the vanilla SharePoint folder. I uploaded, and I can just click on it, and it opens. Now, this is Excel Services. Excel Services exists since 2007, enhanced in 2010, enhanced again in 2013. Same visualizations. I can click on stuff. I can go to another year. The only difference is that now all this calculation, getting the data, refreshing, and everything was done on refreshing, not in the meaning of getting, again, the new data, but actually querying the model was done on the server. Visualization sent to here. Same thing with Power View. So it's exactly the same thing. Notice that Power View, the default application that we're using for Power View, is still the Silverlight based application. We're busy getting rid of it. We have here a button that allows you to switch to the HTML5 version. I will not do it. I know that the maps will not show. They will just say, sorry, this visualization is not yet supported. But it's coming. So. But this experience for just having files in a folder and clicking on them is not a really inviting experience. So that's why we created the Power BI site as the landing place for all these reports and to do more, to really collaborate and to do more with this data. So now, I could actually, the best way to upload files would be from here. Add a file from here, and then it will do everything it needed to do. Because I edited it in the normal SharePoint way to the folder, I need to do another step, which is called to enable it. Enabling it is actually a must thing if the file is more than 10 megabytes, between the 10 megabytes and the 250, which is the maximum limit, you have to go through this enabling. So if you upload it from here, it will do everything. Yes? 30? 30. So 30 without it. Now it was done. And another thing that actually you saw that this enabling is doing is extracting a thumbnail of the default first report. I designed it so that it will look nice here. For now, we're working on it, but you see that the slicers are not showing. So if you put on top a lot of slicers and the reports are actually in the bottom, the thumbnail will not look nice because it will be just empty and something in the bottom, so I just try to make it nicer. And from here, I can open it. Another thing I can do is I can decide that this is part of my featured reports. So this would be on top, bigger thumbnails, a band of the reports that I decided that those are the ones that I want to promote and have people notice that they are there. So I can do that. What else can I do? I can enable it for Q&A. I can say, this is one of the reports that I'm thinking they are done properly, the model is correct, and they are interesting enough to query with natural, natural language is the code for English. Everything else is not natural for now.
Hebrew is coming next. Also,
yeah, Hebrew is like last on the list. So I can do that. I can enable it for Q&A. Now, as a user, and this is all the things I do as an admin for this site. I want to switch for a moment to use this from another as another persona, which is the CEO himself. Now, the CEO, although he's a very important person in my company, but I don't trust him to actually get the data to his side and start manipulating it and thinking that he knows everything about it and changing it and so on. I still want to keep my one version of the truth at my level. So what I did, I added him to a group of called Excel viewers, which can only view the report in the browser and never download it to Excel. And you have to be just a word about permissions. Many of you are SharePoint admins and people, this is a SharePoint conference after all. So you know about permissions and groups and all that. But the approach in SharePoint Online, although SharePoint Online is SharePoint, but it has a more permissive approach. If you start a tenant, everybody can do anything. Anybody can edit any file. There's no restrictions. You have to make sure that you change the necessary permissions so that only the people you want can do what you want them to do. And also, it happens that this CEO type of mine is using this weird tool here. And but not only is using that, I want him to use what is called in this tool here. Where was it? I'm not really familiar. Incognito window. Incognito. Why? Because I want to log in as two different personas on the same machine. I don't want to log out from one and go to another. And also to show that Chrome is supported as well as... So I have here, I've done it before, so I have here the link directly. So I assume I send him by mail. And so he has to now identify himself. And he is Mr. CEO. So he has this long... Now, I don't have federation. So it's just a vanilla site. Couldn't federate it with my Active Directory, so I have to log in directly as CEO at demodhspc14.onmicrosoft.com. Okay. He is logging in as himself, going into the Power BI site. Now, his experience will be obviously a little bit different. He can do, actually, it was not the link to the Power BI, it was the link to the site. Never mind, we'll go to the Power BI. There's no need for this person to go ever to see the SharePoint document folder. Most of the users would be happy to use just the Now, what can he do? Like, if you go on a file and click these three dots, the only thing he can do is favorite. He cannot do edit in Excel, and then he cannot do delete, cannot add. The add more documents is not here. What is favorite, by the way? Some people are a little confused. There's features and favorite. And I didn't see any presentation in this conference that actually someone mentioned the favorite. The favorite is actually a very interesting thing. A person can have access to different BI sites across the company, depending on these different roles. I can see some of the reports here, some reports there. And every time I see a report that I like, I can click and make it a favorite of mine. And then if I do it on this one, I do it on this one, which actually is from a different story altogether, but never mind. Then I can go to this area here. You see that says my Power BI. This is like my personal area, and in there, I will see everything that I favorited from different sides. So it's a collection personal to me, which could potentially come from different sides. So the featured is more of a for the admin to set up the look and feel, the general look and feel of the Power BI side. Favorite is a personal thing for everyone to do.
Right, thank you. So we've seen the what you can do on a SharePoint server on-prem, and then the extra stuff you can do on a Power BI site. Next thing is let's go to the next scenario, right? We had the next task, which is a common task, which it is around building dashboard. So this is really more of a kind of like the corporate BI world, right? You build the dashboard because you want to track something that is more formal, define and track some KPIs for your business. You want to design a nice-looking dashboard. And the way you can do that today with on-premises solutions from Microsoft is you can use Performance Point or you can use SharePoint with a collection of BI-related web parts, mostly around connecting and showing as a web part Excel workbooks and some filtering web parts. And you end up building SharePoint pages that are really dashboard-looking pages. How many of you are using Performance Point here today? Okay. How many are familiar with the BI web part in SharePoint? Okay. Good number on both. So if you're doing that, you can continue to do that, right? Both exist. I believe that Jeff Tipper actually announced on stage that there will be another SharePoint version on premises. They will continue to be supported. So it's not going away. You can also use Excel workbooks to build dashboards. And it's kind of like a mix of, is it self-service or is it not? Well, you build a dashboard with Excel, but it's not self-service by the definition we've made because it's not personal. It's actually to share with the organization. But you can do that, right? There is actually a nice video on how to build a dashboard with Excel. The link is here. The deck would be made available, so you can just go there, or you can go to this projectpoticherry.com and learn about it. If you want to do that with Power BI, Excel workbook is the way, right? So there is no use of Performance Point in Power BI, but you can use Excel workbook, you can build dashboards, you can use the charts and the slicers and the timelines and the pivot tables, Power View and all these things to build a dashboard. You have to use Excel with the Power Pivot, so it has to be a data model within the Excel workbook because that's the way that is supported for refreshing the data into the dashboard. Obviously, a dashboard that's not refreshed with data is not a dashboard, not particularly useful, right? You want to connect it to the true data sources that you have, and for refresh to work, Power BI supports refresh only when the data is actually in the model. And you can still use the same BI parts that are in SharePoint on-prem, also in SharePoint Online, so as part of Office 365, and design the SharePoint page around the web part that would embed the Excel workbook and connect it to filters and all that stuff you can still do. So you can build actually a dashboard in Power BI today and even connect it back to corporate data sources. If you are already invested in Performance Point, you probably want to stay with the on-prem SharePoint because that's what it is, right? Over time, we'll probably evolve the dashboarding scenario and make more options available. We don't know yet how it will look like, but for now, these are the two of like options you have. Let's go back to the demo, the workbook that we've been creating, and see how it can actually evolve into a dashboard that does what we want, which is to track metrics of the business.
Okay, so this is the good part when things can go wrong. Until now, not a lot could go wrong because I was mostly using things which were already ready before. So first about my conversation with my CEO. So the reason we're going to modify what we did so far is that he told me, look, okay, we found some insights from at this point, but I want this to become something that we continuously monitor. And I want a dashboard. He heard that there's a dashboard. He saw a dashboard. Maybe there are dashboards on the corporate side. So he wants one also for this purpose. I said, okay, what do you mean? What is a dashboard in your mind? What do you mean dashboard? Oh, I said, dashboard is about semaphores, about green, yellow, and red. So I want these things which are, and I want to see them in detail or summarized by country, by state, by city. I want to see for each one. And okay, I said, you mean KPIs? Yeah, KPIs. This is exactly what it is. Now, the KPI that we're interested in this case is this sales per capita. We want to see if we are raising the bar on sales per person for our products in the different regions, and we will set a goal for sales that we want to achieve, and the goal is going to be about $1 per person for per year. And can you do that? So, and I said, look, actually, we have most of the elements already in this thing. We just have to modify it to look more like a dashboard with the KPI that you mean. So I will start from here. It will not become a perfect dashboard with everything in it, but I think you get the gist of what I mean. So I will just take this one, chart, just let it go away. And I will go to my model, and actually I don't have to go to the model, I can do it from here. I go to the Power Pivot ribbon. The Power Pivot ribbon actually is part of the add-in. It would not have been here if I didn't enable the... It looks as if it's part of the Excel ribbon, but it's actually functionality coming from the add-in. And one of the things you can do here, you can create KPIs. So I will create a new KPI. KPIs are always defined on top of calculated measures. I already had a measure. The measure was the sales per capita. So on top of this measure, I can create a KPI. And I will say this KPI is based on the sales per capita. See, okay, this is what I'm going to use. And my goal is, actually, I can do more, I can be more sophisticated and specify the goal as calculated things on it itself. And it makes sense because it's very difficult to get a static number, a literal, for every combination. If I just select one product, then the goal obviously needs to be something else because I cannot expect to sell $1 per person of a specific product. But for simplicity, well, let's assume we have an exact number, which is not 100, but just 1. We are humble. We don't want 100, we just want 1. And it says, okay, what visualization do you want to use for that KPI, and what are your areas for showing red, showing yellow, showing green for this KPI, and I can change the default and so on. Once I created this, then it becomes, it recalculates, but actually nothing will change in this thing. Now I want actually to create a pivot table. There are different ways to do that. One of the ways, the easier ones, is to go to the Power Pivot Dean and ask him to create a pivot. And I would say, now I want the pivot exactly here. I want the pivot here. Okay. Now it will start a new pivot right exactly here. I have the field list. The field list, you can note if you've been doing this for a while, you see that this, how a field list looks if it's working against the model. It has this tabs of active and all. And I see my tables. And if I go to my internet sales, I can see my KPI coming here. And I can say that I want to see the value and the status. And the status is coming as the visualization that we decided, which is a semaphore, red, green, yellow, and green. And overall, I see that we are actually green. So the goal was reasonable. If I set it as 10, everything will show red. If I set it as 20 cents, everything will be green. I want something that is kind of achievable, not too much, not too little. You know how it is. Okay, but I also want to see my geographies from the cities table. So I will say I want to see it by state, and I want to see it by city. This is like, I don't want it to be by default expand it all the way, so we'll go and collapse this level. Did I do?
You want to work?
Oh, sorry. I want to expand this level, not the level below, because the level below there's nothing to collapse. Okay, so now I see the my KPI by geography, and it's filtered by and affected by all the other filters around it. So the moment, the same way that my other my other visualizations will change. You see, it doesn't actually. Why it doesn't? It doesn't because I didn't connect it to the other slicers. That's one difference between PowerView and PowerPivot. In PowerPivot, not every slicer necessarily is connected to every pivot. If I want, for example, to connect it to the year and months, I will have to go and say, for this pivot, oh no, it's in the analyze. I can go either to the filter and connect the filter, the slicer to the pivot, or I can go to the filter connections and decide that I actually want this to be collected to connected to all of those slicers that already exist. Once I do that, those will start to affect the. And in 2008, everything seems to be red. While it was kind of okay when I was filtering it on other things. So now I can add some more. Maybe I have some more KPIs. Maybe I want to break it in a different ways. I can have some of those with a bunch of filters, and it actually start to look more like a dashboard. One more very important thing that I will do is I will rename this, and instead of telling it to be, I will say, this is my dashboard. Very important. Never forget this step. And actually, we can, when you do save as, you can call it dashboard. We upload it to the Power BI side, and now it becomes one of the reports. I don't think we have to repeat that because it's kind of a repeat, but I hope you get the point. Yeah.
So you published the same thing on your SharePoint or on your Power BI site, and now you have a dashboard for use, and it's actually running in the cloud, and if you use the schedule data refresh, it connects back to the data that's coming from some systems on-prem, and you get a dashboard, a corporate dashboard in the cloud. You can actually do that. So let's continue with the task, the BI tasks that we have. Reporting services. SSRS is the way you build corporate reports, you build operational reports, you can view them from a SharePoint server on-premises. This is on-premises only. Right now, there is no SSRS support in Power BI or in Office 365. Probably the most asked request I've been getting in this conference. How many of you are using SSRS?
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. So we hear you. Right now, it's not there. You can expect some news to come, but it's something that right now does not exist. So reporting services, if you are using it now and you have reports that you've been developing and they are operational in your organization, stay on premises with those SharePoint servers. We've been, actually Noam is here. Yeah, we've been working with internally within Microsoft to try to move a lot of the SharePoint files that we have on premises to the cloud. And again, back to the question I asked before. If you're trying to move everything and you have a very complex environment, you can't actually move everything yet. If it's a great direction, but it's a transition and a migration period, SSRS is one of those cases where for now, if you have SSRS reports, they need to stay on premises until we enhance the Power BI offering to include more capabilities.
And also when we do that, I would think that the migration of SSRS will not be just as one big bug. Probably you will see some gradually getting features from SharePoint reporting services available. Reporting services is a big animal. It's just not something that you just take it and move it to another environment like that.
Yeah. So we're going to probably start slicing the like reporting scenarios and enabling more and more reporting scenarios in the cloud. It's not going to be a you just probably, I don't know, but probably not going to be you move it as is. As much as we can, we will try to make the migration easy, but it's a transition. Similar case with the custom BI applications. Many of you have been developing custom apps for running on SharePoint servers, very tailored around specific BI scenarios, usually very unique and corporate customized portal applications or repository of reports or things that basically integrate tightly into SharePoint and enable some SharePoints to be kind of like BI portals that are very highly customized for your needs. Those kind of things will stay on premises. There is a new extensibility mechanism in SharePoint to build SharePoint apps. There have been multiple sessions in this conference about how to do that. You can basically look at those and see if it makes sense for you to
redesign
those.
Actually, the Power BI site is one of those.
Yeah,
Power BI site is a SharePoint app.
Yeah, so
Only that we develop it, and it's not really the basis. Right now, it's not the basis for you to do your customized app on top. It's an out-of-the-box app, give you, I think, a decent experience, but it might not be exactly what you want to give to your users. So for now, you either use that or you stay with what you have. Yeah.
So if you're happy with the BI site as your portal, great, we have that. If you need to maintain or to keep investing in your existing custom portal and the corporate look and feel that you have and these kind of things, just it stays on premises. That's the solution until you decide that you actually want to invest in moving that. That's really the direction here. So if you want to build those on Office 365, this actually is not a Power BI specific thing, right? Power BI has its own portal. But if you want to build those custom apps, those custom portals on Office 365, you can use the new SharePoint accessibility in the cloud. They are not exactly equivalent to what existed on premises. And there is some development effort required, but you can do that. That's a business decision you need to make, whether it makes sense to invest in that or whether it makes sense to keep those SharePoint farms on premises for now. So now we get to the happy together. So what is it all about? It's all about a hybrid world where you're going to have probably both SharePoint on premises and Office 365 with Power BI in the cloud. And the first very natural thing is that they just live side by side. On premises, you probably ended up deploying some combination of these servers, right? You had on premises data sources, databases, cubes, folders, all of these things. You've had farms of SharePoint servers running on your premises, probably deployed analysis services, Excel services, reporting services, Performance Point, Power Pivot Gallery, SAS, all of these on-premises servers to support the business need to provide business users with the reports and dashboards and visualization and BI tools that they need. So that exists, and you probably have, each of you here has some combination of that on your premises. In parallel, we've been building the cloud equivalent of that. So we have SharePoint Online running in Office 365. It connects to the Excel web apps, which is kind of like the equivalent of Excel services on premises. There is a service that we run for all of the BI tools actually running in Azure, which is running the analysis services and the Power BI site and several other services and providing similar set of capabilities. Not exactly the same as we've shown during the session, but similar set of capabilities, and you can start using them in the cloud. This Power BI environment or Office 365 with Power BI allows you to connect to data sources that are accessible in the cloud, obviously, so you can put data in SQL Azure, you can connect to web data. This is the side-by-side. But obviously, this is not the hybrid scenario we're talking about, right? The hybrid scenario we're talking about is what happens when you want to move content, workbooks, right now Excel workbooks, from your on-premises SharePoint farms to the cloud. And when you do that, they have to have access to the data that you still have on-premises, which is where the data management gateway comes in. It's really the key to enable those hybrid scenarios. So I encourage you to go yesterday to the session and learn more about it, or go later. And
there are time machines available outside if you want to use them to go one day.
It's the next feature coming in the cloud, right? So what's the recording? It's all recorded. If you've been yesterday, then you know what I'm talking about. But this data management gateway is really the key to allow you to connect those data sources that are still on premises where you have them, and connect them to Power BI and have the experience of the business users in the cloud, right? Consuming reports from here that are driven from data that's coming both from the web as well as from the on-premises, and they get, and you get to the hybrid scenario. That's really what a hybrid is about in the BI space. It's not about moving your applications as is to the cloud, although it's also something you can do. In the discussion we're having with customers, often the question comes, can I move these servers here and just move them to Azure's VMs? Yes, you can. Okay, that's obviously an option. If you want to get rid of the footprint of servers in your premises, you can still do that. But in those scenarios, you still own those servers. So think of it as kind of like an extension of your on-prem. It's still servers that you own and manage, right? In the BI space, the hybrid is all about the front end, the SharePoint servers that are front-ending the BI content, running in the cloud and connecting back to on-premises data and exposing that to the end user, being able to schedule refreshes for that and keep those reports and dashboards always up to date. That's the hybrid scenario. That's where we believe we're all heading toward. There are some limitations in terms of data sources that are supported. So the hybrid scenarios are improving and growing. Right now, if you run something on Power BI and you want to refresh the data, obviously if it's an internet accessible data source, it works. You don't even need the gateway for that. If it's in SQL Azure, same thing. If it's on premises, then if it's running on SQL or Oracle, we support that. You need a data management gateway. There are scenarios that are still not supported. The list is because it's impossible to come up with a full list. It's just like really the amount of combination that could be thought of is enormous. But one thing to note is that the data in the workbook that you upload to the cloud has to be in a data model for refresh to work. Power Query refresh are not supported yet, but they are really coming in very shortly, so it's something that's just around the corner. Connectivity to large models and cubes on-prem, still not supported, so the assumption is that the model is within the Excel workbook and not outside of it. Those are things you need to be aware of, and when you design your projects and design what you want to move to the cloud, be aware of those limitations. These are really, like, I think, the three major things to be thinking about. And we'll end with a call to action. You should go and identify the scenarios that you can benefit from by running in Power BI. It's not everything, but there is a significant subset, especially in the self-service space, and go hybrid. Connect your workbooks in the cloud to data on-premises and get that, start using that. You should continue to use SharePoint on-prem when it makes sense. So if you have heavy investments in reporting services in Performance Point, if you rely on data sources that are not yet supported by Power BI, continue using on-prem. That's your hybrid environment. And follow up on Power BI. Stay up to date. It is a cloud service. One of the exciting things about this is that we ship on a monthly basis, and some teams actually even on a weekly basis. It keeps improving. New scenarios are being added all the time. So the best way to follow up on that is follow up the powerbi.com blog and know what's coming and embrace that when it's made available. And at that time, we will break for questions. Thank you.